You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded every Sunday at the 11 o'clock Mass at our new church located at 411 Palmer Road in Columbia, Illinois. For more information about Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. And now, enjoy the podcast.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When I was ordained a priest, now more than 49 years ago, back then I didn't know very much what I was doing, but I had at least the good sense to make a resolution that whenever I could help it, never ever preach about money. All of us, let's be honest, have had horror stories to tell about clergy persons who got up in a pulpit and browbeat everybody in sight, and it never works. First place, you're preaching to the choir. The people who need to hear that are at home in bed. So you got the wrong audience to begin with, and it just never comes across all that well. And I'm thinking of that this morning, as I see in the bulletin that a couple of weeks from now we have Stewardship Recommitment Sunday here at Immaculate Conception. So I'm not sure if I'll succeed this year avoiding talking about money altogether. I was earlier this morning going through my Sunday newspaper, and besides being about violence, about the rest of the other half of it is about money. Depressing news, mostly. First of all, your Sunday paper is filled with ads from people who do not love you. They want your money. I don't care what they say about how they love you and care about you. That's a lot of, you know what, they want your money. But then the news stories, so many of them have to do with amounts of money that most of us cannot even count the zeros on. On the front page of the Post-Dispatch for this day, there's a lead article about the new sports stadium that they are considering over in St. Louis. Why they need another dome or a stadium in that downtown area, I have not the faintest idea. But there it is, comparing St. Louis with other cities and how many billions were spent on this. And I even read the little bit of the story, and it said that every single one of those places that built a new stadium, the taxpayers got suckered with way more than was promised at the front end. So there you are. Here in Illinois, on our side of the river, just go up to Springfield and listen to the goofiness of the governor and the legislature who can't seem to pass a budget. And all the while, on both sides of the river, people are homeless, people are on the streets, and we are arguing about billions of dollars. There is a disconnect here, and I don't know about you, but those kind of things offend me. So I'm going to talk about money, not your contributions so much, but I'm going to talk about money because, let's face it, everybody's talking about money these days. There's even a cottage industry that people who make money telling you how to invest your money. So if it's good enough for the rest of the world, I can't help it, but I see Jesus talking about money in today's scripture. St. Mark in this gospel says, in the course of his teaching, Jesus sat down opposite the treasury. Well, first of all, I'm glad that Jesus sat down once in a while. I like to think maybe his knees were going like mine are. And he's got tired of walking. I always think of Jesus as being on the go all the time and out there curing and doing good works and everything else. At least he sat down and got comfortable for a few minutes. And he watched people coming into the treasury in the Jewish temple making their donations. And you got to understand the political situation that they were in. That country had been conquered by the Roman Empire, and the Romans, through tax collectors who were hated thoroughly as sinners, raked off large sums of money in taxation and sent it off to Rome to support the armies and the Colosseum and all that crazy stuff they were doing in Rome. So the Romans tolerated religious freedom, but what people gave when they went into the temple was what they could afford after the Romans had already skimmed off most of their savings. So Jesus is sitting there with his disciples and people are coming in. They didn't pass baskets like we do. They had a box right there at the entrance and people made their donations. And Mark says, rich people were coming in who still had a good bit left over after the Romans and putting in very generous donations. And then finally comes this poor widow, put in just a couple of coins, the last that she had, and Jesus said, she put in more than all the rest. Interesting comment from Jesus about charity and how we donate. Back in the Old Testament, and these readings were put together on purpose, Elijah the prophet is journeying along, and he stops at this house, and this poor widow, she is down to her last little bit of flour and oil, and she even says, how am I going to make something for you? I was about to have something for myself and my son, and then we're going to die tomorrow. She was on the very edge of extinction, and yet she shared what little she had, and the Lord blessed her. And so, plainly, the teaching of Jesus and that Old Testament story go together, and they tell us that when Jesus adds up the pluses and the minuses at the end of the day, it's a little different than when our auditors do it in our finances. Just briefly, in between there was a reading from the letter to the Hebrews that I just want to make a short comment on, because a lot of times we miss what that is really saying. Several times in that reading, that writer said that Jesus did not make his sacrifice repeatedly. He did it once for all, and that was that. And I think sometimes we miss what that scripture is telling us in the church. We love the word sacrifice. How many times in the Eucharistic prayer do we talk about the sacrifice? Can't get more holy than that. But the simple truth is, Jesus came to offer his life once for all. Once. Why? Because ever since the beginning of the human race, people have been sacrificing each other, their animals and their possessions. And God said over and over again throughout the Old Testament, I'm tired of this craziness. Stop it. What I want is a heart that is full of charity and justice, not all these crazy gifts that you're trying to offer on these altars. So when the letter to the Hebrews, which is in the New Testament, says that Jesus offered this sacrifice once for all, he is telling us, stop this business of scapegoating and sacrificing, especially the poor and the people on the fringes of society, and let's have a little bit more justice and equality in the kingdom of God. So there you have it, the economic theory and the practice all wrapped into our scriptures on this third last Sunday of the church year. What does this mean for us? Well, the applications are so obvious. We are told, and most of us remember from years ago, that Catholic action is just exactly what Jesus did. You sit down and observe, you make a judgment, and then you act. You do something about it. And I think it's important to stress that we as Christians have got to be active in these economic decisions that are put on our society. The simple truth is, the wealth of this world is not evenly distributed. While we sit here rather comfortable in our homes on a Sunday, there are people, 95% of people around the world, who are just like that poor widow in the Old Testament, who are on the very edge of starvation because the goods of this world, through colonialism and capitalism and all the other bad things that go on, are not evenly passed around to God's people. And so I think at the level of policy, as voters and as people who are not only Christians, but citizens of the larger community, we have got to take a stand for justice and righteousness. And I don't know about you, but I am personally offended, as I think is the gospel of Jesus, by the inequities of our world. I live in a poor section of this diocese where programs are being cut and people are just literally being set adrift because in Springfield, they can't figure out how to put a budget together. I am offended, moreover, if they go ahead and spend billions of dollars on a football stadium while people are starving to death and walking homeless in our streets. And we just simply cannot even come up with enough safety nets to gather all the people who are falling through the cracks. So politics is one thing, but justice is something even more. And it's important that we as Christians not just retreat into our churches and pray for everybody. We've got to get out there and slug it out and take a stand for what is right. At the personal level, of course, we have to manage our own stewardship and our own families and personal lives too. Money might be the root of all evil, but we've got to touch it every day, and we've got to use it in a holy way if that is at all possible. And I think we should imitate the good saints and the people in the scriptures who found out that it is by sharing and by being generous, even with the little that you have, that God blesses us in the long run. So we've got to be good managers. We got to be generous. We got to learn the art of delayed gratification, that saving is not a bad thing. And once we learn it, then we got to teach that to our children as well. So I think today's scriptures, much as I never said I was going to talk about money, are all about it and tell us how to make our way as citizens of the kingdom of God in a world that has pretty much lost its way. At the end of the church year, and we're getting just a couple of weeks away from it, the theme of the scriptures gets more and more about judgment. And like it or not, we should not be afraid of this, at the end of our lives and at the end of the world, we're all going to be called to judgment. And if you want to put it in financial terms, it's like having the IRS come in and audit your books. And God's going to look at our assets and our liabilities and not be fooled by any of the things that we have said about them and tell us the truth, whether or not we have followed the gospel, which is to imitate the offering of Jesus Christ. So let us pray that we may be good stewards while we are here on this earth and that we may have the reward of good stewardship that is promised to those who follow the gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.